Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Every single vote will count. Bring out your dead. Flip over every rock. Look in every nook and cranny. Do what you need to do in these few states, because this is what matters. For the rest of the country, probably not so much. Ohio, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Nevada, potentially Arizona. Bring out your dead. Flip that rock over. Open up the shed. Find every last vote. All hands on deck. That's what it is. All hands on deck. Let me tell you, this is where Hillary has a huge, massive advantage. We talked about it before. Retail politics. Retail politics. That's where you press the flesh. You have a ground game in some of these states. Retail politics. On that day, she's got a huge advantage. The reason is she has ground game. She has big time ground game. She has people that will be out there getting people to the voting booth. Do you understand that? Do you get that? And trust me, right now, she needs all the help she can get. Some of these states that look like a lock cinch less than a week ago now have become battleground states again. Trump, over the last 5 days, has been on point, has been on message, has not deviated from the path that he finds himself on right now, which was hyper-focusing on the things that people want to talk about. And all the while, though, for these last 4 or 5 months, there is a small swath of people in the center that will swing this election one way or another. They are the independents. They are the undecideds. They are the frustrated with the old and can't quite trust the new, but they have to make that decision on that day. And they don't want to throw away their vote. They don't want to write somebody in, and they know one of these two is going to be president of the United States, and they want to do what is absolutely best due diligence as they possibly can to make that decision on which one they'll choose. But for the last 4 months, and quite frankly, for the last 16 months, those independents that matter more than people realize have been no more than a tennis net on a tennis court with two people volleying back and forth over them. Which one of them is going to mishit it? That's what we need to figure out. You have a few days left, for those of you who haven't voted, to make that decision on who is it going to be. On one side of the aisle, you know everything you need to know about something and somebody you know nothing truly about. And on the other side of the aisle, you have everything you need to know about something that we know everything about, and we're not quite sure we like what's out there. The question for you is, who is it going to be? You don't want to throw away your vote. For somebody like me who lives in California, it's not a big deal. I've lived in a state where let me tell you something. We'll pick a Republican governor because we know he's got zero power, or she's going to have zero power. We can pick a Republican governor. It's no problem. But as far as the president, again, like I said over the last several weeks, you could give me 5 votes and every Republican, independent, libertarian who doesn't vote for the Democrats. And it still wouldn't help Donald Trump. But for those states, those battleground states out there, those states that are going to matter in 6 days' time, this is where it's going to become interesting. Because I think in many ways, the independents have not only been forgotten, but they may not even be pursued. Now it's get the most amount of low-hanging fruit that you can get. And this is where the Democrats have the advantage. This is where Hillary has the advantage. She has the advantage because she has a ground game in these states that is amazing comparatively to what Donald has. Donald has done something that nobody else has ever done. He has come from nowhere. He has defeated, yes, 16-plus potential candidates. He has become the nominee, and he has done it in a way that nobody has ever done it before. Zero ground game. Zero ground game. He's done it with rallies and a limited amount of press as far as, or ads and a lot of press. Some bad, some good. But where it's going to matter most is on those areas in these battleground states where people are able to go out there and get people that right now are frustrated, who really don't care, who are over, who are quite frankly, they're just done with this entire thing, and neither of these people have inspired them to want to get out and vote. Those people who have a good ground game may be able to get some of those people to get to the polls. That is what's going to matter. That is important. That right there is extremely important. So they're going to flip over every rock. They're going to knock on every door. They're going to call everybody they possibly can, and that push is going to be huge. And where Donald is struggling is he doesn't have the backing of the Republican Party across the board, and he doesn't have a ground game that he should have put in these key battleground states that is big enough to offset what she might do. In some polls, he's up a little bit. I think he's going to win Ohio. I just think the depressed era that came and went and hasn't come back, and they have looked at her and their Democrats for the last umpteen years, and they have not seen anything different. I do not believe for a second that's going to come back in the next 6 days and swing it towards her. North Carolina, it's going to be interesting. Florida, he needs to have. While it's a big Latino base, it's also a very big Cuban base. And the Cubans don't like much of what the Democrats have to offer because they've come from a place where they look at progressiveness as not something really good. And they look at this president and what may potentially be an extension of 4 years of what he has just had 8 years of and say to himself and themselves, they're dealing with the Castro brothers. I don't want any part of this. There is a lot that goes into this. A lot that goes into this. But understand where this is going when it comes to vote. This is how important it is in these key states. In other states, it's not as important because they're pretty much going to fall one way or the other, and most of us know that. States like Nevada, maybe even potentially Arizona, have they come into play? Texas, it looked for a second like it could have, but it's not going to. But Florida, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, these are must-haves if you're Donald Trump. I wouldn't go to another state over the next few days. There's no reason to go anywhere else but there. You should be everywhere. And if you don't think there is pressure, if you don't think there is a stressfulness amongst Hillary from all of the stuff that's come out. Today she was out in Florida. First of all, a heckler was in the crowd. And oddly enough, you know, I haven't seen too many hecklers in the crowd for her. At Trump rallies, they're nonstop. But when it comes to her, no. But listen how she handles this.
By the fact that I love this country, I think you're
So you hear that, he's screaming and yelling, people are booing, boo, boo, he's talking, he's holding up a sign saying Bill Clinton is a rapist. Now listen to how she reacts and understand, you can start to feel the tension just from her voice, you can feel the tension.
I am sick and tired of the negative, dark, divisive, dangerous vision and behavior of people who support Donald Trump.
I tell you what. There's tension there. She's nervous. She's angry. She's pissed. This time last week, she was thinking about who's going to be in my cabinet. This time last week, she was thinking about Bill's going to have to do all these things and pick out the China. This time last week, she was thinking to herself, man, I wonder if we're going to be able to get Chelsea to move out here. Can I give her a cabinet position so I can see the granddaughter all the time? Flash forward to where it is now, and she's thinking to herself, this time next week, I may be thinking how close I was, and yet I didn't get it. Every vote is going to count in each one of these states. For a lot of you out there who want your vote to count, it does. But realize this. These have been the battleground swing states for a very, very long time. And it's no different now. And for Donald Trump to win this, he's going to have to stay straight and narrow. He's going to have to be strong as can be. He is going to have to keep to the message as much as possible. He is going to have to rise above the craziness that's going to be out there. And there's more coming. And I expect there will be at least one more surprise on each side before we hit Friday into the weekend. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Very, very much so. How you doing, everybody? It's the Chad Benson Show. You can text us. 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Love when you do. And you can also tweet at us, Twitter at us, at Chad Benson Show. Simple and easy. Speaking of Twitter and whatnot, if you're hiring right now and you know where to post your job, you want to find the best candidate, let me tell you, posting your job in one place isn't enough to find that candidate. Quality candidates, they don't grow on trees. You got to search like you do for customers. Same thing for great employees. If you want to find the perfect hire, you're going to need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus sites, including social media sites like Facebook and the aforementioned Twitter, all with a single click. It is that simple. It is that simple. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface, which is incredible because you're busy, too busy to be juggling emails and calls and whatnot. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by over 1 million businesses. That's a lot of businesses. How about your business be one of those? And right now, for the Chad Benson Show listeners, you can post on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/report. Think about that. Free job posting. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/report. One more time for the Chad Benson Show listeners. ZipRecruiter.com/report. Get your job posted for free. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Kids can mimic. They're like parrots. They hear something, they say something. We see something, say something. This is what we're supposed to do to the FBI. Kids hear something, say something. And it's not always good. And this is something that is very real and relevant to what's going on. New York City Elementary School canceled its mock presidential elections after teachers and staff raised concerns about kids repeating negative rhetoric by minorities. If you don't think kids understand something, let me tell you something. A couple weeks ago, Jack and I, we sat down and we carved pumpkins and then we voted. I let him sit there with me and we went over all the stuff, minus one prop here in California. And we voted and we talked about stuff. And he doesn't like Donald Trump because all the things he's heard about Donald Trump are negative. And while I have showed, look, not everything is horrible, understand that I get why he feels that way. This is my son I'm talking to. I'm talking to a six-year-old whose best friend is a little Latino kid whose family is from here, but also has a house in Mexico, and he's worried that his little best friend's going to be taken across the border. And trying to explain something like that is tough to a child who doesn't understand it. We get stuff as kids from our parents, like racism and things like that. That stuff's taught. Yeah, there's a few instances in life where, you know what, the chips are down against you, things may go wrong, you have a couple experiences that may turn you that way. But by and large, most people, you're raised into those kind of situations. Just like poverty, just like success. Now, people do break free. It's not always 100%. Some people who are poor become rich. Some people who grow up in a very racist environment escape that and don't have those kind of feelings. But more often than not, they do. And they tried to do something here. And this is where I was pissed about this New York School Elementary School that Jericho Elementary School is they had a teaching moment and they jacked the pooch. They had a teaching moment and they blew it up. They had an opportunity to talk about stuff, to answer questions in a way that 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds would understand, and they blew the opportunity. And this is where, this is what pissed me off about this. They shouldn't have. They should have kept the elections, but they should have talked. Instead of canceling it, which is what they did, they could have used the moment to teach. Isn't that what your kid goes to school for? You can teach your kids a lot of things, but a lot of the stuff that they're going to need in life and that I got in life and that you got in life and you got in life and my son Jack's going to get in life isn't going to be from my teaching. It's going to be from experiences he's received outside of the nest. And this was an opportunity to have that. Jack and I sat down and we talked for a long time that night about Donald Trump and about politics. And again, he's 6 years old. He did pay me the greatest compliment I've ever had. He says, you know what, Dad's great about you? And I said, what? He goes, Dad, you know what's so amazing? I'm like, what, Jack? He goes, you are not really an adult. You're not a big person. You're like us. You're like, you could talk to the big people, but you're kind of more like us. And I'm like, oh. But we had a nice conversation about it. But kids hear these things, and they hear this rhetoric. And we don't always think that kids know, but you know from being a child yourself, you knew a lot more of what was going on in your house with your mother, your father, whether there was money problems, whether they were fighting, whether one of them was drinking. You knew far more than they thought you did. And it's no different when it comes to something like this. This school had a chance to teach, and instead, it canceled and shied away. That's not a good teaching moment. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. Got my super beats on. I can feel it. Jason Page is going to join us next. We're talking about history tonight. History in the making. Game 7, World Series, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
History, in some weird way, will be made tonight for one of these long-suffering baseball towns. Cleveland, after 70 years, may get their victory, and after, 108 years... the Cubbies may exercise the evil that was the goat and be freed from all of this. Joining us now is our sports guru and formerly of NBC Sports, Jason Page joins us. Jason, what's happening, man?
So what's going on? Only for you, by the way, would I go stand outside when it's, 55, 60 degrees out. Only for you would I stand in my driveway and do an interview because my dogs, for some reason when I do radio interviews, my dogs like to bark. So I actually have to come outside and stand in my driveway so that you don't hear my puggle barking endlessly. So only for you would I do this.
Well, we appreciate that, and as does the world of the Chad Benson Show. So tonight we've got Corey Kluber and Kyle Hendricks on the mound. You've got two guys here. One of them has been a real surprise in Hendricks. Everybody knows what we have in Corey Kluber. Man, it is, I mean, let's be real. 4 days ago, this was done and dusted. It was just Cleveland's. They were figuring out how to get them the trophy. And here we are now, and we're an hour and 30 minutes away from Game 7 that is potentially going to be epic.
It is. And, it's kind of interesting, Chad. I thought that if the Cubs could get it, figure out a way to get one of those games and not get beaten in 5 games in Chicago, I thought they had a really good shot to still win the series. And the reason is they're built better from a lineup standpoint when they get back into Cleveland and they have Kyle Schwarber in the lineup. Losing him for games 3, 4, and 5 in Chicago because of no DH, who would have thunk it, was actually a killer for them because he couldn't play in the field during those three games. So getting Schwarber back into the lineup on a full-time basis, it just gives a pitcher something else they got to think about when they look at this lineup. And let's face it, playing in Chicago, while it's a home field advantage, and you know, you get the last at-bat in the ninth inning and all that is great, can you imagine the pressure? These players will all say they don't feel it. Trust me. I've been around enough players and talked to enough players. They feel it. They know it. They understand the moment, the gravity of the situation. Being in Cleveland, I think, is a godsend for this Cubs team. And I think they're going to win tonight. You have Corey Kluber going on 3 days rest. He's gone on 3 days rest just one other time in his career, and he wasn't very good in that outing. I don't have a lot of faith in Kluber on 3 days rest. Pitchers are creatures of habit. And you take somebody who's been in the league for 5 years and say, all right, now you got to go do it on 3 days rest. It's a lot to ask. Now, on the other hand, you do have Kyle Hendricks, who also has to go on just a few days rest. I think the Cubs do enough. I think they get the win tonight, and I do think they break the curse of the Billy Goat. And Theo Epstein will go down in history
as one of
the greatest of all time. Everybody talks about it. It's funny. There's been this conversation throughout baseball this year about David Ortiz and his significance to the Red Sox organization. A lot of people saying, you know, is he the most influential player in Red Sox history? And there's been this conversation. And I got to say, if you want to talk about what the Red Sox accomplished, I look at Theo Epstein just as much and say, as an executive, what he brought to the table to that Red Sox organization in terms of leadership, in terms of some of the player moves he made. I think Theo Epstein is every bit as responsible for what happened in Boston as David Ortiz is in terms of what he did on the field.
We're talking to Jason Page, our sports guy here. And Jason, you know, you talk about Theo Epstein. Baseball's one of these things where, more often than not, football, it really matters who your coach is. You see that with the Belichicks of the world and whatnot. Baseball, it really matters who your GM is. Theo's done it in Boston, potentially in Chicago. But these two managers are a little outside of the box and maybe are a little bit better than just your run-of-the-mill. You've got Madden on one side, who even down 3-1 made them all dress up, took the pressure off of them. And you got Francona, who won in Boston and is also one of those guys that is hilarious and he takes the pressure off. This is intriguing just watching these two guys.
I don't think you could have picked, in a million years, straight out of Hollywood, I don't think you could have picked two guys to be the perfect skippers for their respective teams. You know, Joe Maddon coming over, the curse of the Billy Goat, having to come over and take on a Cubs team that had a ton of talent. And there was a lot of controversy when Maddon came and took over because he essentially pushed out the other manager who had been there, his name is escaping me, but he essentially pushed that manager out and fought his way in to get that job, which isn't something that's all that pleasing to a lot of people around the baseball industry. And then you have the story of Terry Francona, who accomplished what he did and was pushed out the door in Boston to go into Cleveland with a team that does not have a huge payroll, that does not have a ton of talent, that does not have a ton of A-list name players. You know, if Francisco Lindor played for the New York Yankees, you'd hear about him every day. He'd be gracing the covers of every magazine. Well, people don't buy magazines anymore, but he'd be gracing the cover of every website. He'd be all over the place, be all over the newspapers. Because he plays in Cleveland, he's an afterthought. You know, and there's a few guys on the Indians that have sort of taken on that role. So you've got two managers, I think, that are built specifically to manage these types of teams. Madden, who doesn't let any of the pressure or the questions from the media. I mean, his press conferences. I've been in a couple of Joe Maddon press conferences. His press conferences are hilarious. I mean, and for the media who has to cover so many guys in sports that we don't want to cover, Joe Maddon is a blessing for us in the sports media because he's actually somebody that's fun to talk to. He very rarely will get ornery. He'll very rarely get on your nerves. And you know what? He's not afraid to make a move that's questionable. You look at what's happened with Aroldis Chapman in this series. I'm sure you were going to ask me about it, but I'll sort of jump the gun. You look at what's happened with Aroldis Chapman in this series. I mean, he threw him to get eight outs in Game 5 to make sure they'd get the win. And even in Game 6 with the team up 9-2, he brought in Chapman in the seventh inning, not to close out the game, but just to go get him a few outs. to get them to the ninth inning and make sure they got out of that game with a win. And he says, hey, I'll come right back with Chapman tonight for as long as it takes. And that is one of the most important things I preach. I'm going to get a little preachy here.
All right.
One of the things I preach most, Chad, about being a good manager is knowing your talent, knowing your roster, knowing that you can go to Chapman as much as you want. Because Chapman's a guy, you know, we baby closers in baseball today. Oh, they can't throw three straight days, or they can't go, you know, more than X number of pitches. Chapman wants the ball and can handle having the ball. The guy is a superhuman figure inside of baseball. I mean, he looks like he's wrapped in steel, was one of the terms I've heard used for him. And I've seen him in locker rooms. I mean, the guy is a larger-than-life figure. He doesn't even look like he should be a pitcher. He looks like he should be playing basketball. The guy is massive. He can go out there and throw in three straight days or four straight days or throw a number of pitches. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Chapman in the seventh inning again tonight if the situation warrants. I don't think Madden's afraid to do it, and I don't think he's afraid of the second guessing that will come with it if he winds up being wrong. I think a lot of managers are scared of having to face those questions going into a press conference after the game. Joe Madden doesn't care. And I don't think Terry Francona does, for that matter, either. And he's got a great bullpen, too.
Talking to Jason Page, our sports guys, we talk about Game 7 tonight. You know, you talk about, you know, here comes the Aroldis Chapman. The one thing that Cleveland does have is their starting pitching, minus Kluber, is it's suspect at best. You get past them, though. You face Andrew Miller and the rest of these guys. This is where their money's made. And tonight, for both teams, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's going to be ready. John Lester's going to be ready. Everybody's going to maybe have to throw an inning or get an out, because this is what it's all about.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And it's kind of funny that you could have Andrew Miller and Aroldis Chapman, the game coming down to them. Both of them were New York Yankee relievers at one point this season, and now they're both playing in the final game of the Major League Baseball season with a chance to break some horrendously long curses for their respective teams. It's kind of interesting that both of these guys are in this spot. It's been a long year. You go back to Chapman for a second. This is a guy who started out the year suspended by Major League Baseball because he had a domestic violence dispute.
Yeah. And then that went away because of the domestic violence.
Yep, that went away because of the domestic violence. Then the Yankees decided to take a shot on him. The Yankees decided to trade everybody away at the deadline because they knew they probably didn't have a chance to be a playoff team, so they decided to go and get value for Miller and for Chapman. And there's a very good chance that Chapman could actually wind up back in New York with the Yankees in this offseason because he's going to be a free agent. He really liked pitching in New York. Those Madison Avenue dollars are something that are tough to turn away because it's not just the salary you make in New York. It's all the marketing deals that come with being in New York. He could very well wind up back there. But, yeah, it could very well come down to bullpens tonight. And as you said, some guys who are starters could wind up in the game. Who knows where this thing winds up going? That's the beauty of a Game 7. You never know what you're going to see.
Talking to Jason Page. Jason, as we look forward here, tomorrow starts the new baseball season, essentially. Winter meetings are a month away. Trades are going to happen. The Cleveland Indians, it's more imperative in the short term and maybe even long term to get this. The Cubs, people thought the Cubs were a year or two away from making a run of three or four. These guys are locked down. Chris Bryant, none of these guys make more than $1 million a year. I think their top three or four best players, Chris Bryant makes like 500 grand a year. They're not going anywhere. They potentially could be in for a good 3 to 5 year period where they have a shot to get in the World Series every year. I don't see that with Cleveland.
You're 100% right. Cleveland reminds you a lot of Kansas City. You know, where Kansas City was able to do it for a couple of years. Cleveland was a team that just kind of missed out last year. And I'm sure they'll be in the mix again because the AL Central really isn't that good. If you go and look at the AL Central from top to bottom, the Tigers are going to do a retooling in this offseason. There's rumors that just about everybody is on the trade block for the Detroit Tigers. The White Sox have been a mess, thus the reason you see Robin Ventura gone from there. Kansas City can't afford to hang on to all of its high-priced or what is potentially high-priced talent because they have restrictions in terms of what their ownership is willing to spend. And then you have Cleveland, obviously, there who will still be a factor. But I agree with you. In terms of being able to make a run to the World Series, you know, when you look at what the Yankees will do in the offseason, what the Red Sox will do in the offseason, what Artie Moreno out in Anaheim with the Angels will do in the offseason. But when you talk about the Cubs, Tom Ricketts, he doesn't care. He's going to spend as much as he needs to. He's making a ton of money now with Wrigley Field, with refurbishing it, with expanding it, with adding some more seats. You know, Ricketts has no problem going in there and spending the money he will need to spend when these players become free agents. If he's smart, he'll lock them up earlier and not let them get to the end of these contracts. And I wouldn't be shocked if he did that. I was talking about this with somebody the other night, and it's kind of interesting with the Cubs that if they don't win the World Series this year, let's say they lose tonight. Worst case scenario for Chicago sports fans, I know. But let's say they lose tonight. I know there's going to be a lot of heartache in Chicago, but the big picture, the reality of it is, they have a chance to be in this position for many years to come with the group of players that we were just talking about. I know it would be devastating that they don't break the curse of the Billy Goat and all of that, and fans will think the sky is falling. But big picture, the Cubs have a chance to be in this position every year for the next several years with the amount of talent they have there. But when you get to a Game 7 in the World Series, you obviously want to try and wrap it up. I think they do tonight, though, Chad. You can put me on the record with that, and you can make fun of me on the air tomorrow if I'm wrong, but I think the Cubs win tonight.
I think I picked Cleveland, and you've got the Cubs. I think it's going to be a great game, and it's always interesting. Anytime there's a Game 7 in sports, there's very few things in the world that really can come close to that. Jason Page's name, we appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Dinner on you in Southern California when the Cubs win, right?
You got it. And dinner on you in Miami when the Cubs lose.
Fair enough.
All right, talk to you later, brother. I don't know. I just have a feeling tonight Cleveland's going to get it going again, and Kluber's going to give them four or five good innings, and that bullpen's going to come in and shut them down. I just have this sense. I don't know. I pick them. And you know what? Either one of these teams, if you would have went to them in February and March and said, both of you guys are going to be playing in the World Series in a Game 7, they would have each jumped at it. But it doesn't console the loser when they lose tonight. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chadbenson. Love when you text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Now we have scientific proof, producer Phil, about this. That makes us sexy. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
I mean, this guy's a total whack job.
Super awesome. Chad is awesome and he's super rad. So, for you guys out there that have the dad bod, guys kind of built like me, maybe 20 pounds overweight, 30 pounds overweight, not fat, not obese, not gross, can still, you know, see your parts when you look down and your shoes and whatnot. Don't sweat when you're sitting down. Guess what? Great news. According to the professor of anthropology, ecology, and evolutionary biology at Yale, Richard G. Brivikas, dad bods are far more desirable than hunky dudes. Sorry, Johnny Sixpack, they say. And the reason, well, they say there's several reasons. One of them, and this is the thing that, and I've tried to talk about this before, is we're still, like, if you believe in science, and if you believe in evolution, you believe in all those things, no matter how much we With our, you know, the way that we have changed society and the societal ways that we've tried to change things, there are still things within inside of our DNA and our body that we've built up over generations, over hundreds and millions and billions of years. Is this correct? Yes, it is, sir. And there is man and there is woman. And there are certain things that by nature, inherently, that women and men look for in each other when it comes to certain things. And for guys, there's a certain thing that guys look for, especially when we think long-term mate-like situation. You and I always joke about it, producer Phil, but we like a girl with the curves.
Absolutely, baby.
So do a lot of men. They look at somebody like Ariel Winter, who is redonkulous. What is she, like 19 or 20? But she's got like, that's ideal. That looks healthy and it looks good. And that looks like that's something that long term looks good. Women look at it the same way. They see a guy who's 6 foot and 160 pounds and they think, oh, he maybe look model kind of good looking and whatnot. But at the same time, they look at somebody who's 5'10 and 200 pounds and he's kind of built like a man. And they think that's a man. That's long term something. That's what makes them attractive. Here's the other bonus for us, old producer Phil there. Pudgy middle-aged guys tend to live longer. Research claims guys in this category, especially guys who are slightly husky, less likely to suffer from heart attacks and prostate cancer. And as they talk about in this, there is an evolutionary perspective in this report. Not that you shouldn't be healthy, because you should. But just like we talked about the other day with guys who are getting plastic surgery and all these kind of things, there's just a certain sense to a naturality of you know, you look at somebody and you're like, oh, that looks great. That looks good. Looks healthy. And girls, do you really want to date a guy who is that much thinner than you? What happens if a monster comes in? It's going to kill that guy and then you're next. If a monster comes in with us, we can run away together. That's what I'm saying. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, CHADBENSON. You can text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We're getting you over to Hop! It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.